I've often said I only preach one sermon over and over again, and that's life is hard and God is with us. That's pretty much the larger sermon of the book of Hebrews, too. You may remember that Hebrews is probably a sermon manuscript or transcript. And as a sermon, it's a pep talk for a congregation that needs to be reminded that Christians aren't promised roses without thorns. We instead need to hear that we are more than our past, and that the promises of God are for all eternity, and there's still nothing better than knowing and trusting Jesus today. You hear lots of encouragements and affirmations in this sermon called Hebrews, and we could say a lot in general about Hebrews, but today let's focus on something that this congregation that heard the sermon needed to hear, sometimes something that we as 21st century Christians also need to hear, especially and specifically. We need rest. Happy Father's Day. All of you who have a father or had a father or are a father, that should be everybody, you probably don't get enough rest. If you are honoring a father today, just know that a restful, peaceful afternoon nap may be just what he wants. And Hebrews 4 reminds us of that. It speaks to three different types and times of rest. It says we needed rest, past tense, needed rest from our labors and our actions. And there's God's fine example from the creation narrative. And the preacher of Hebrews says it this way. We heard it read earlier in context. And God rested on the seventh day. Whether you take the creation account literally, which since it speaks about days, 4 days before our sun is mentioned, I'm thinking God might tell time differently than we do. So we read the creation narrative as an explanation for what we need to understand, what's important. And you should note that rest was created along with everything else, even before sin entered the world. We always think we need rest because of sin and toil, but rest came along way before the story of sin entered the picture. God created rest, and if God needed rest and a day off from work, I'm pretty sure you do too. You're probably tired today because you didn't get enough rest this week or this past month or year or decade. And maybe it's not only physical rest that you're not getting, but emotional rest or spiritual rest. All these kinds of rest are needed for our shalom, our well-being. Rest isn't defined just as sleeping or as keeping the Sabbath. The text speaks about Joshua not granting rest. That refers to the people of God finally getting into the promised land, but still not being at peace, at rest, when they got there. But after accomplishing a specific goal, it's wise to celebrate and to rest. It's good to take a break. There are some here who worked on our adult mission caravan this week, and they need a break. They worked hard this week. Now some of our teenagers and some chaperones just left this morning for West Virginia to do a week of manual labor. I'm pretty sure they're going to need some rest when they get back. So we need rest. We need extra rest sometimes, just not forever. We don't rest on our laurels. Was looking that up. Where does that phrase come from? Sometimes I think the Holy Spirit uses Google. Because I put rest on our laurels, and I got this quote from a spiritual guide called the AA Big Book. It says, it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and to rest on our laurels. We're headed for trouble if we do. What we really have is contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. Maybe some of you are at a resting place. You who are retired, you may think, oh, you can retire from all labor and coast from now on, but God always has purposes for us. Rest some, but not entirely. Our labors may change over the decades, but our priority doesn't change. And what might that priority be? I'll give you a hint. It's called our chief end. So does anybody know their catechism? The chief end for Christians. It says our chief end, that's why we're here, is to glorify God and enjoy God forever. That's the chief end of Christians and of the church, to bring glory to God. There's lots of ways to do that without regard of our age or stage. And we know that the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. God, who searches the hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit intercedes for saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. God's purpose for us is to work and rest and work and be in balance. And God knows that we've needed rest, but also that we need rest today, present tense, during our labors and stresses. If you see verse 7, it says, God sets a certain day today, saying through David, today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts. Because there's other rest too, besides routine Sabbath rest and rest after accomplishing a difficult task. There's the rest associated with letting go of our hard hearts. Do you deny having a hard heart? Okay. Maybe it's letting go of your broken heart, or your unforgiving heart, or your angry heart. Every day we need to rest and we need to surrender our stressors to God. It's not surprising that one of the world's most well-known prayers is attributed to Reinhold Niebuhr and used a lot by those in recovery. The prayer we all need every day: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. An unknown inspirational poet wrote it this way: as children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he is my friend. But instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. I finally snatched them back and said, how could you be so slow? My child, God said, what could I do? You never would let go. The thing about rest that comes with surrendering that which hardens our heart is that sometimes it feels like work. And whatever our heartfelt burden is, it needs to be addressed, surrendered, abstained from on a daily basis. Today. Today we can rest from worry, fear, anxiety. We can refrain from trying to control things that are out of our control. Can we pray like Jesus? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Today? Today, can we aim to live claiming the fruit of the Spirit, to rest in all that love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control that God wants for us, as we surrender the hate and worry and fear and impatience and revenge and criticism and out-of-control attitudes and behaviors that come so naturally for us today. Rest from it all today and one day after that. One day at a time. I noticed just the other day that some specific prayers I had prayed many years ago were just being answered now in God's amazing, gradual, good and different than our kind of calendar. So we surrender to rest today, remembering that God's today may be different than our today. And especially know what Hebrews 4 reminds us, that a Sabbath rest remains for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest will also cease from their labors as God did from his. So we are assured of rest in our future. Someday we will not have the stressors that we have today, the ones that we constantly need to surrender to Christ's care. The bonds and sins and relationship struggles that lead us to feeling overwhelmed and tired will be gone someday. Today we have a future with hope. Our Hebrews 4 text says it this way: so then a Sabbath rest still remains for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest cease from their labors as God did from his. Not even page 6 yet. Isn't that funny? So let me tell you what the rest of it says. As best I can. It must still be up on my printer. It says something like the rest of the Reinhold Niebuhr prayer. You know, the first part: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change what I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The rest of it is very beautiful, too. It talks about surrendering all to God's will, knowing that if I try to live in God's will, I will be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy in the life to come. When I was a student at seminary, I was also a hospice chaplain in training. And I was visiting a young woman who was bedridden from a progressive neuromuscular disease. And I was reading to her from a book by Johnny Erickson Tada. Some of us may remember Johnny. She was quadriplegic from a diving accident. And she wrote a book called Heaven, Your Real Home. And I was reading this book, parts of it, to this young woman who was barely able to move on her own either. And the passage said something like, Heaven will not be an unmaking of what we know as good, but that will be expanded, and it will be a breaking down of all that is what we think is bad. And when we are in God's presence, we will know that everything will be to God's glory. And she had very limited ability to speak at that point, but I will always remember what she said. She said, "Wow." Farther along, we'll know all about it. And I don't and we think, okay, heavenly rest. That sounds good for about a week or two, but then won't it get boring in heaven? And I'm here to tell you that if you look that up, everybody says no, and it will be so amazing that everything will bring glory to God. And when we think about things that are glorious, we may be able to see and do things that we think are so glorious now that are parts of God's creation that we, of course, cannot touch, the galaxies and the moon and the stars. We don't know, but we know it will be glorious, and our end will continue to be to give glory to God. And so whether you need needed rest, you need rest, or you are wondering about the rest to come, know that in all things you are in God's loving care today and forever. Amen.